Morning. If I could we all stand up and we pray just a little bit before we do the sermon this morning? It'll give us a chance to stretch and pray. Stretch and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this group of people that you brought together this morning. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts and our spirits to hear what you're saying. Lord, I pray that you would put words in my mouth that are clear and that the concepts make sense and that it would just be a great time of hearing from you. So remove me from this picture and I pray that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I start, I'd like to have Pastor Mike give me that hourglass just so I can time myself. No. It's either going to be a long period of silence or a very short sermon. Okay, today, if you've not noticed, we're talking about a bucket list or the bucket list. Does everyone know what the bucket list is? Raise your hand if you do, just so I kind of know. So 67% of you do. A bucket list is essentially something that you want to do before you kick the bucket. So before you pass, it's something that you want to accomplish. Usually they're kind of lofty goals. But they could be silly things too. So what I want to do right now, I'm going to give you a little assignment. And if you could take this seriously, that'd be great. I'm going to give you 15 seconds, which I know this is not much time, but I want you to come up with your own bucket list. I'm sure most of you have this already, so it's not going to be a lot of thinking. But I want you to come up with three things that you would say, I would love to do these three things before I kick the bucket, before I die. So go, I'll stop talking. Okay, I think that's good. If you probably have something in your head. I came up with a bunch of them myself, and some of these aren't mine, but these are things that I've heard, and maybe some of them could be mine. First one I came up with is, before I kick the bucket, I would love to have been able to say that I've eaten at every Armenian and Persian restaurant in Fresno. Or I'd love to go back to school and get a master's degree. Or I'd love to learn how to fly fish someday. Or I'd love to be able to climb Half Dome up and back by myself without being carried. I'd love to learn how to ride a motorcycle. I'd love to restore this relationship that I have with a relative that's been broken and we haven't spoken for 30 years. I'd love to be able to run a full marathon. I wouldn't. I just threw that in. That's not a goal of mine at all. I would love to, as a bucket list item, or maybe even the bucket list happening, parachute out of an airplane. That might be the goal and the end at the same time. I'd love to travel to countries in Europe, or all the countries in Europe. I'd love to watch my grandkids get married. I would love to earn X amount of money to say this is what I've done. I'd love to buy that second house on the coast someday. I would love to buy that midlife crisis Corvette that I never bought during my midlife crisis. I would love to get that car project that's been sitting in my garage running for the last. Sorry, I'd love to get that car running, that car project that's been sitting in my garage for the last 25 years. I'd love to overcome my fear of heights. I would love to go to one of those restaurants and eat either that mountain of 15 scoops. You know, they give you that ice cream sundae that's enough for 8 people. You either eat that or you eat the steak that's this big or the hamburger that's this big. And I'd love to win the t-shirt or the whatever they give you for that. I'd love to lose that 30 extra pounds that I've been carrying around for so many years. I'd love to look back as a parent and say, wow, we did a good job raising the kids. I'd love to see my kids eventually get married and move out of the house. That could be mine. Okay, that's in there. I'm going to say that. I'd love to read through the entire Bible. I'd love to get my entire family to come to church with me some Sunday. I would love to learn how to play the piano well. I would finally love it if I could finish those scrapbooks that I started 40 years ago. And finally, I'd love to grow a vegetable garden. Okay, so briefly, someone just yell out their bucket list item. Just one. You don't have to come up. Just yell it out if you're bold.
Surfing.
Someone said something here.
Travel.
Spanish. Speak Spanish. Okay. Anybody else? What'd you say? Bull riding. Okay, there you go. That could be the goal and also the end also. Okay, good. Did someone else have a hand over here?
Going to Beirut.
Bring someone to Christ. Okay, that's a good one. All of these are fine goals, and they're fun and they're entertaining, and we need goals that are fun and entertaining to motivate us, because if we have nothing, then life becomes quite difficult. But if you think about it, as Christians, what should our bucket list be? As a Christian, if I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, what should be included in my bucket list? Today we're going to look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and specifically we are going to see his farewell speech to the Ephesian leaders at the church in Ephesus, essentially. And so as he's sharing with them, Paul is going to tell them his bucket list. So if you can, open your Bibles, Acts chapter 20. Page 828 in the Pew Bibles. So Acts chapter 20, verses 13 to 16 is what we're going to read. Is everyone there? Look up when you're there. Half the times I say things that I think are funny, but you don't. Okay, so Acts chapter 20, verses 13 to 16. This is essentially Paul's itinerary as he's traveling all over the place, and it's a little overwhelming to think about it. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived at Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Paul gives us this detailed travel itinerary. A lot of it almost doesn't even make sense to us because we don't know the places, and it just seems like, why is that in the Bible? The part that I want to focus on is the last part where it says Paul intentionally avoided spending time in Ephesus. Does that sound like a weird statement coming from Paul? It does, right? He's Mr. Missionary guy, he's Mr. Church planting guy. Why would he intentionally try to avoid Ephesus? Basically, if you know stuff about Paul, Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus building the church. So he met with people, he taught, he heard their problems, he interacted with their lives. So if Paul is in fact in a hurry to get to Jerusalem, would it have been wise of him to try to avoid stopping at Ephesus? If Paul knows everyone and their mother at the church of Ephesus, would it have been wise for him to go there if he was in a hurry to leave? Probably not. Thank you, young lady. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you were at church this Sunday and you needed to leave quickly afterwards, would you tell your spouse, you know, I'm going to run over to the coffee fellowship deal, and I'm going to grab a cookie, and I'm going to be in and out in 1 minute? Is that going to happen? No, that's not going to happen. You're going to start talking about the weekend and your lives and this story and that story. Your 1 minute's going to turn into 45 minutes. So Paul's trying to avoid that because he wants to get to Jerusalem. But he does something that we wouldn't have expected. Like, it's kind of a twist in the story. Look at verses 17 and 18. So Paul's in Miletus, and essentially he's got a layover there. There's a few days he's going to be in Miletus, and he has a plan, and this is what his plan is. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia." So Paul essentially is telling them, okay, I'm in Miletus. I'm only 30 miles south of you. Why don't you guys come, church leaders, come and meet with me? We can do what we need to do, but it won't be the entire group, so it won't be overwhelming. Come and I'll impart something to you. Why does Paul want to meet with these guys? Like, it seems like a whole lot of effort and work. Even 30 miles by foot is a big deal. We know from Paul's life, essentially, that he's pretty sure that he's never going to see them again. Like, this is his last time that he's going to see these leaders from the church of Ephesus, and he wants to impart one last bit of instruction to them. If you think about what this would look like, this is Paul spending 3 years with them, day in and day out. He's living with them, he's teaching them, he's instructing them, he's crying with them, he's encouraging, he's laughing with them. He's so a part of their life that he's going to leave them now, and he wants to empower them with something. Let me ask you this. What would you want to impart on somebody else that was incredibly close to you that you knew you weren't going to see ever again, or at least in this world? What would you want to impart to them? Paul starts out this speech or this talk by basically giving his qualifications. He's basically saying, you guys know who I am. You know how I lived when I was around you. You know my heart. You know my motivations. You know my drive. You know my ambitions. I have nothing to hide from you. I'm an open book. Therefore, please listen to what I have to say. There's credibility between us, so I hope that you're going to listen to what I'm going to say. That's basically what Paul's getting at this point. And what does Paul tell them? Well, Paul's going to tell them his bucket list. Like, he's going to tell them, this is exactly what I'm striving for or what I've already done in my life, and I want you to take hold of this. So this is Paul's bucket list. Look at verses 19 to 21. Paul says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance, and I have faith and have faith in our Lord Jesus. So this is Paul's bucket list. I know if you just read that, you'd say, what? Like, that was a lot of jumbled up stuff. I'm going to break it down into five, basically, things that he wants to get done. First bucket list item for Paul is humility. Paul says to them, I served you with humility. Humility essentially is serving the Lord without claiming something for yourself. And we all claim to have some level of humility. But the reality is usually when people do stuff, they like to do it for a reason. And it's either praise from other people, it's acclamation, it's power, it's position, it's something. Usually we gain something from it. And even those who are incredibly humble, even inside there's that pride that seeps out to say, you know, I really feel good about myself because I did this. So humility sounds like a simple thing, but it's a very complicated, difficult thing to master. And Paul is making that claim, and they don't say to him, don't think so, Paul. I mean, they're definitely agreeing with him. So Paul's serving them with humility. That's his first bucket list item. Second item is tears. Okay, so does this mean Paul walked around just bawling every 5 seconds? Every time something happened, there's the crybaby Paul just crying all over himself. No, it doesn't mean tears like crying. It means like compassion. So Paul has compassion. He's connecting emotionally with the people he's ministering to. Paul is not just some intellectual teacher the way we usually think of him. You know, he wrote most of the New Testament. We usually think of him as some like knowledgeable Bible scholar, theologian guy, which he was. But here Paul is saying, I connected with you guys on a personal, emotional level. So number one is humility. Number two is compassion for the people you're leading. That's the second bucket list item. Number three bucket list item is, it is endurance. Paul says, despite going through incredibly tough times with the Jews specifically, he refused to give up. And if you look at Paul's life, Paul went through the ringer in so many different ways. Like, everyone wanted a piece of him in a bad way. Whether it was Jewish people, whether it was Gentile people, Paul, every other story is saying, I left here, got beaten here, ran from these guys, was persecuted here, and all that, Paul continues. Would you classify that as endurance? Yeah, I would classify that as endurance. When things get tough, what do people typically do? They give up, they quit, because why? It's hard, but it's hard. Well, just keep trying, but it's hard. Okay, well, look for your pajamas. It's hard. Okay, sorry. That's what we deal with every day. It's like, well, have you tried? No, but it's hard. Okay, Paul didn't give up no matter how much things got ugly, no matter how much his life was threatened. Paul had endurance. So first bucket list item, I'm going to say these about 1,000 times, so hopefully you'll be able to repeat them. Humility, second one. Tears, compassion. Third one. Endurance, thank you. Next one is boldness. Paul did not hesitate to preach to everyone in the Ephesian church needing to hear it. He didn't hesitate. Whether it was in a public setting, whether it was in their homes, he told the truth, whether they were Greeks, Jews, Gentiles, whoever. Paul was bold and never shied back from teaching the gospel. Incredible bucket list item. How many have shied back from teaching the gospel or preaching or saying a word? I hope everyone raises their hand because we all have. So Paul says, I have never done that. Bucket list item four is which one? Boldness. Thank you. Last one is simplicity, which sounds kind of random. Paul's message of the gospel was one thing. It was one simple message that he preached to everyone and anyone. There was no difference who his audience was. Yes, he would shape it differently, but the message was the same every single time. It essentially was, turn from sin, turn to God, have faith in Jesus. Paul's gospel message was, in a nutshell, we have all sinned and have rejected God, and now we're running away from God, and we're under God's wrath. Because of that, you need to repent, turn back to God, and trust in Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. That was the message Paul spoke to everyone. Whether they wanted to hear it or not, Paul spoke that message. Okay, so number one bucket list item, humility, thank you. Tears, compassion, yes. Number three, endurance, yes. Boldness, simplicity, yeah. Okay, let me ask this question. This is where it gets a little harder. What is on your bucket list? Now, I don't need you to yell these things out. I just want you to think about it. Is your bucket list, if you seriously think about it, is it a mixture of the fun examples I gave in the beginning? I want to climb Half Dome. I want to eat a snail from a French man. I want to, you know, whatever those things are. Or do you and Paul share any of those five bucket list items that I mentioned? Humility, tears, endurance, boldness, simplicity. Do we share any of those? Many of us would say, oh yeah, my list does closely resemble that. Or we might say, I would love it if my list resembles that. But let's take things up another notch. Let's make it a little bit more difficult. If my bucket list item is I want to climb Half Dome, right? It's 10 miles from the parking lot all the way to the top of that rock thing, and then 10 miles all the way down. Okay, that's hard right there. But then let's throw in some fun things. Okay, so you're walking, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm really thirsty. Be nice to turn back. You know, I'm really hungry. It'd be nice to turn back. You know, my feet are killing me. I've tripped over that same rock 37 times. Okay, that's just bad enough. That's normal. But then let's throw in some wind. So the wind comes, and then clouds start coming. And clouds come very fast over there. And then let's throw in some thunder. So then you're thinking, okay, something's about to happen. Then let's throw in some rain. And then let's throw in some lightning that's not hitting you, but it's close. And you're up high, so it's a little scarier. And then for some reason, trees are falling because of the wind or the lightning, either way. How far do you keep going? Now, if any of you have a brain in your head, you probably would say, I would turn around right as I opened the door to the car. Oh, gosh, that parking lot's pretty far. And then just shut the door and drive back home. But for some that really want to accomplish that goal, how far are you going to go? What'd you say? You're going to go all the way. All the way. So Richard's going to be dodging the falling trees, dodging the lightning, dodging the rain, trying not to fall down and crash on the muddy thing as he's going back down. Why would Richard do that? He's crazy. That's one. But what's another reason why Richard would do that? He said it. I didn't say he was crazy. He's bold. It's his bucket list. Yeah. This is something Richard wants to do before he kicks the bucket. And it's going to drive him. And if you talk to people, or you guys know people, or it's you guys yourself, you have done things or will do things that are completely insane. Like, I don't want to start sharing stories about you that I know, but you guys are doing stuff that are incredibly bold, and I'd say, wow, that's impressive, and I would never do that. But bless you that you're so driven to do that. And the sole thing behind it is, well, this is something I really want to do because it's my bucket list or whatever term you want to put on that. But how far do we go with that? You know what I'm saying? Am I going to go to any extreme to grow a vegetable garden? I don't know. Maybe. Let's look at verses 22 to 24. And this is still Paul talking. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul is compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and he's obeying even though he knows kind of not what's going to happen. And actually, the bad thing is he's obeying in spite of knowing what's going to happen. So he knows for sure that he's going to face hardship and imprisonment, at least. But what Paul doesn't know is how bad is it going to be. So verse 23 says, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. So he's going intentionally with a willing spirit into, yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. What would you say at that point? God calls you to go somewhere. Let's not say Jerusalem, but somewhere where it's scary. And in your mind, you're like, okay, this could get bad. What do you do? I mean, there's really only two choices, honestly. So there's the one thing where you could say, you know, God, I'm sorry, but I feel like you're simply asking too much of me right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go on vacation. And I'm going to clear my mind. I'm going to clear my mind out. And, you know, I'll pray about it. I'm going to pray about it as I'm sitting on the beach. I'm going to have a nice drink. I'm going to clear my mind. That's one choice, right? Was that Richard's choice as he's climbing Half Dome? No, Richard's climbing Half Dome. Like, he's going to be the only guy up there dodging lightning, but he's going to climb Half Dome. Look at verse 24. Paul says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Why does Paul say that he's going to do that? Paul says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to do it. And what's allowing Paul to be able to go to Jerusalem? There's only one thing allowing Paul to be able to go to Jerusalem. Without freaking out. He doesn't value his life. That's the only thing that would enable Richard to climb Half Dome during a thunderstorm. He doesn't value his life. Think about what you could do accomplishment-wise if you did not value your life. And I don't mean in a reckless sense, like I'm just going to be a complete nut and jump off the side of a building without a parachute. But think about what you could accomplish if you didn't fear for your life. Really? Paul's going to go there and not value his life. Like, think about what that statement is. Who in this room, and please honestly raise your hand if this is your person, if this is you, who in this room could make the statement that their life is not their primary concern? That your life is not your primary concern. Okay, I want to talk to you afterwards. Seriously, there's not many people that will say, my life is not my primary concern. Because if you dig deep enough, it always is, well, you know, that is true. Yeah, kids, you know, I got to look out for the kids. And I mean, our lives are so embedded in what we do or don't do. Paul is able to make the claim that I'm going to Jerusalem, even though things are going to get ugly, because I'm not saying Paul had a death wish, but Paul did not value his life as a number one priority. Paul's bucket list was about what? Give me one word. Christ, the gospel. That's what Paul's bucket list was about. Was there anything in Paul's bucket list about Yosemite, about marathons, about trips, about ice cream sundaes, about motorcycles? No. Paul's bucket list was about the gospel. It was not about his life or his pleasure. Okay, so what is in our bucket list is going to dictate how we try to use our life. And there's two ways we can use our life. The one way is we can try to hold on to it and live as long as we can for our own personal pleasure and gain and achieve all the different things that we want to do. Or the other way is we're going to live solely for the testimony of the gospel. Those are the two options that we have. There's no gray area. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-Christian, there's only two options in this world. I live as long as I can for my goals, my pleasures, my dreams, or I live as long or as short as God allows me to live for the sake of testifying of the gospel. So I'm going to ask the rhetorical question right now that I hope you all know this. What should be the bucket list of any Christian? Furtherance of the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. That's the big picture. The five individual components that Paul tells us. Humility, so we're living out the gospel in humility. We're emotionally connecting to the people we're ministering to. We're not giving up on preaching the gospel despite hard times. We're boldly proclaiming the gospel in all settings and occasions. We're keeping the gospel message simple. That is Paul's bucket list. Okay, let me ask you another hard question, and this is going to be convicting to me too, so we're all in the same boat on this. When was the last time you dreamt about fulfilling one of your bucket list goals? Like, give me a time frame. Don't yell it out. Just think in your head. Is it once a month that the idea comes in your head like, boy, it'd really be great if I could? Or is it once a week? Or is it once a day? Or is it multiple times a day? Or is it every 5 minutes? Or think about the one thing or few things in life where you really want. How many times does your mind go to that throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month? For me, it could be any time I'm stressed, I'll think about like my happy spot, whatever that is. My thing is like being in the garage by myself where I could shut every single door and every single kid and everything's out. And I can be in my garage. That's my bucket list place. But how many times do we go there per day? And the list could be at whatever your thing is, a trip, it's a physical accomplishment, it's financial thing, it's buying something, whatever gets you going. Okay, let me flip it around and make this even uglier. Now, when was the last time you longed or dreamed or fantasized about proclaiming the gospel to an unsaved person regardless of the cost of your life? And I'm saying this in a way that you'll clearly know what I'm saying in a minute. We're very quick to be thinking about, dreaming about, pondering, pursuing things that we want in our bucket list. But how often do we pursue the bucket list that Christ has given us, which is the gospel? When I ask you that question, I hope that most of us squirmed because it's one of those questions that we all should have failed. I squirmed saying it. And so here's what I'm going to tell you. This is my confession. I wrote this sermon, and when I finished writing it, the whole time it's about, you know, bucket list, and it's about that my life should be focused on the gospel, and that's my primary thing. As a reward, what did I do the second after I stopped typing this? Close. I got on the internet, and I started looking at parts for my car because I want to fix this car, and I'm looking up stuff that I want to buy, right? Tell me we don't have a struggle with this. Or maybe I only have the struggle with it. If our lives are more about achieving our personal bucket list goals and not the Lord's bucket list for us, then you know what we need to do? We need to get a new bucket list. So let me say it again. If our lives are more about our own personal goals and achievements and accomplishments and not about the Lord's bucket list for us, which is the gospel, then we need to get a new bucket list. Okay, so now we're going to do something else. Will you guys all rise and we're going to sing the Hail Mary?